Good morning, Wim. Welcome also. It's nice that you have listened to the voice of God, that you prepared something this week. I will bless you, dear Father in heaven. I come here with my brother Wim. Will you bless him? Will you fill him with your spirit like you did the last weeks and you spoke to him? Speak your words through him. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody. It's a double feeling to be here. At one side, it's not normal for me, but also confidential. But last year, I was here 8 times in an evening. So I feel at home. Where the Lord is worshipped, you feel at home as a child of God. 2 songs. I need time to come to worship. You are so busy in your mind. I understood that I have not so much time for the preaching. And we preached for the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and you never know what the Holy Spirit will do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is not following our plans. Last Friday evening, I was on my way from Dordrecht to New Vennep, and I was driving the A4 near Den Haag. And I saw many blue lights and firewatch cars, and I saw a big fire. There was a big fire going on. And I thought, shall I have a look? But everything was closed, so I went on home. And next morning I saw that there had been a great fire in a greenhouse complex near The Hague, and the fire watch was busy during a big part of the night, and the fire was off. This morning I will speak with you about a fire that not have to be stopped. A fire that always should keep burning. And we read it in Leviticus 6. Leviticus 6. It's not a book where many people read from. Leviticus, sometimes you know, how can I handle this book? It's about the temple rules and the rules with the sacrifices. Some weeks ago, my wife and I ordered an apparatus for rowing exercises. And we got it, but I have to bring the parts of it together myself. There was a manual, and finally I thought, it's like the book of Leviticus. You read it, but we did not understand it. So I called the factory, and they gave helpers to fit the apparatus. Leviticus is rather inaccessible, but like all the books in the Bible, God is revealing his heart and teaching us important things for the life of today as a disciple of Jesus. In Leviticus 6 we read a part where we see that Aaron, the high priest, and his sons get instructions for bringing the burning, the burnt offering. It was about the sacrifices in the tabernacle, which became later a temple in Jerusalem. It's about the burnt offering. It's good to know that the burnt offering was a sacrifice that had to be brought every morning voluntarily as a sign of gratefulness to God. The guilt offering were brought every day as a reconciliation for our sin. But the burnt offering is not for that. It also has a message for our life of today, and that's what we are going to see. They got a remarkable commission. We read Leviticus 6, 5 to 6. 5 to 6. The fire at the altar should keep burning. The fire should keep burning. Why this fire should keep burning always? Why this fire? It is used in the Bible as a sign of purification. Sometimes fire is an image of the judgment, the final judgment. But in the Old Testament, you see that fire has to do with the appearance of God Himself. The Bible is saying where fire is, there is God. Think of Moses in the desert. There was that burning shrub, and he went to there, and he saw that fire was not stopped. It was there because of the presence of God. And he heard God's voice that he was at holy ground. He had to get off his shoes, and he got his commission to lead out the people of Israel. And in the Sinai, in the Sinai Mountains, God appeared there again as a fire. And also here, in the tabernacle, the fire is a visible sign of the presence of God. This fire should keep burning because God is always present. And that applies also for us. When we are here together as a church, God is present here. And you have to put it apart of your feelings, of what you feel. Sometimes in a meeting you don't feel something of God. And then you think, was God really here this morning? Sometimes I hear it at the coffee after the meeting. I didn't feel the presence of God this morning. And then you can say, is that so important what you feel? What matters is whether you believe it. Henk Binnendijk often said it, a preacher. Henk Binnendijk, a well-known preacher, always said, we are not for our feelings, we are here for God. You may be sure of the presence of God. There is something remarkable at the fire here in Leviticus. we read that this fire should keep burning by the priests, but at other places we see that it was God himself who enlightened the fire, who set it in fire. The priests should keep it burning, but God himself set it in fire. Leviticus 9, verse 24. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. So this first time, the fire was coming by God himself. And when the people saw it, they were shouting and they fell face down. They knew, now God is in our midst. And when you know that God is in your midst, then you are going to shout. What we did together with two songs. We will sing some other songs later. But I like singing. I like worship. I like shouting for the Lord. The Lord is here. Yeah, like it is written here, then you fell face down and the Lord is there. This is about the foundation of the tabernacle. Then later, after Israel arrived in the promised country, then there should come a temple. A temple was built in Jerusalem, the first temple of Salomo. And what do we read at the introduction of the temple, which we read in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 1, when Salomo had finished to pray, the fire from heaven came down and decayed the burnt offering and the slaughter offerings, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, filled the temple. And here you see that the fire also has to do with the glory of God. There is a song, fill this house with your glory. The fire of the presence of God. And we may feel the warmth of it. We get warm of it, of that fire. The presence of the Lord. He is in our midst. So God sets in fire. But the commission for the priest is that the fire will keep burning. Maybe now you think that, okay, a nice story, interesting, but what can I do with it? What has it to do with my life of 2022? I will mention three things why I believe that it is more than only the instructions for the priest of that time. Firstly, we read that it is a commission for the priests. They had to take care that the fire kept burning. Now I jump to the New Testament. Do you know that you are a priest for God? Read it with me in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You are an elected generation, a kingdom of priests. You are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a people that God have selected to announce the great deeds of him who called you from the darkness to his wonderful light. And do you know that also we, the fire that God has set in fire, that we have to keep it burning? The second thing, we were reading from the burnt sect, the burnt offering that was brought every morning as an uttering of gratefulness. It is that offering where Paul refers to in Romans 12 verse 1, brothers and sisters, with a call at the mercy of God, I ask you to be yourself a living, holy, and God-pleasing offering in His service. So every morning you can say, Lord, here I am. Because I'm so grateful, I will present my life for you as a living, holy, and God-pleasing sacrifice. And then also I will say, some offerings were burnt only partly, but the burnt offering had to be burnt completely. Only the skin remained. So when we live and we present ourselves, we give ourselves as a living, holy sacrifice for God, then it is complete. Take me, send me, take me whole, Lord. Like a daily burnout, but in a positive way, spiritual way. Every morning we can give our life to God. The third thing, how is God watching the church? You know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives amidst you. That's about the church. And for you personally, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that is living in you and that you received of God? These are two rhetorical questions. Questions that you put, but at the same time already you know the answer. These are rhetorical questions. Evangelical Church, Shekinah, a question. You know that you are a temple of the living God and that the Spirit of God lives amidst you. But also personally, you know that your body go and stand for the mirror and watch your body, the body that God gave you. And maybe you think it belongs to yourself, but don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that lives in you and that you received of God? Do you see who this few verses in Leviticus 6 in three respects deal with ourselves? We are a kingdom of priests, we are a living holy sacrifice, and we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we read how God firstly set the sacrifice in fire. But do you know that also it is God who set the Holy Spirit in fire in your own life? Luke 3 verse 16. John said to the people, I baptize you with water, but somebody is coming who is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy even to release his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. God is setting in fire. And when did it happen? I think you know the answer. That was at the Pentecostal day there in Jerusalem. There came flames like tongues of fire came down upon them, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. That is in Acts 2. It is so beautiful that after that you will see what is going to happen there, where God is setting the sacrificing fire, where God lights the fire, then many things are changing. God lights the fire, and we as priests have the duty to keep it burning. First we go to the night in Jerusalem that the Apostle Peter was in prison, and the expectation was that next day he would be condemned and killed because his testimony of the Lord. What did the church do in that night? Sleeping? No, they were together in a prayer night to pray. And what do we read in Acts 12? While Peter was locked up, the church kept praying to God, full of fire. It was a fiery life of prayer. That is characteristic for a church where God has lighted the fire. There is a fiery prayer going on. I don't judge, but I come in many churches. And everywhere it's the same story. In many evangelical churches, the prayer meetings are only visited by very few people. But in the Bible, the churches are praying with fire, always. I say something about the prayer meetings. Some prayer meetings, people are talking more and more loud. And sometimes I experienced that prayer meetings could be very noisy, because people gave so loudly reactions upon each other. But in a prayer meeting, we have to pray with a passion. Not praying for a list of subjects, of topics, but praying with fire is praying with all of your heart, with all of your soul. You put everything in your prayer. Where the fire of God is burning, there are prayers full of fire. Paul said, "Will you pray with fire for me?" Elijah in the Old Testament prayed with fire. Let the fire of the prayer burn in your life and in the church. A second application, that is in Luke 24. It's about the Emmaus, people going to Emmaus after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They went back to the village, Emmaus, and then there is somebody coming to them, and it appears to be Jesus, but they didn't see it. And he explained the scriptures to these two people. And when Jesus left, they said, "Did our heart not burn when he was speaking to us?" Well, God's fire is enlightened in the church. in the lives of his church, there a fire is burning of the words and the explanation of the word. Sometimes I'm amazed in my own church also. In my own church, I said one time to my eldest, to the eldest, I think you evaluate my preaching at length, but not at where it is about. But when there is fire, then it will keep burning. And the third is about Apollos, a man who heard about Jesus, and he was full of fire speaking about Jesus in Acts 18. Apollos heard about the teaching of the Lord, and he was speaking about it full of fire. And what he taught about Jesus was very good. And later on, we read in the Bible that Apollos didn't know about resurrection, but he was so full of fire speaking about Jesus, and very correctly. This man was full of fire. Some people speak about Jesus full of fire. We need this type of people also in our time. A fourth thing, that's about the fire of the Spirit. There's also fire in the gifts of the Spirit. Paul wrote about it to the young Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. That's why I ask you to keep the fire burning of the gift that God has given to you when I put my hands upon you. God enlightens the fire, but you, as a priest, has to keep the fire burning. Also the fire of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who has an open fire or makes fire outside, then I don't have to explain it. When you are not active keeping the fire in flame, then it will stop. It needs an active attitude to keep a fire burning. And when you have received gifts of the Holy Spirit, practice it, need it, use it, and keep it burning. The last one, in Songs of Songs, 8, the life is a flame, is a burning fire. It is a fire of the Lord. That is characteristic for a church. That's characteristic for a Christian. People full of fire of the love of God. Not a simple love, but love brought in practice. That is characteristic for men and women in whom God has enlightened the fire. It is full of fire speaking about Jesus, keeping burning the flame of love. A few weeks I was in a meeting, and the final song there, Build Your Kingdom. That was the final song. Build Your Kingdom. And in the refrain, there is a sentence, and I got tears. Fill your church with fire. And I thought, yes, Lord, that's what we need. I think that we all are want to get rid of the corona. But I also want that we get rid of the practice of the churches of Holland. I come in churches where there are at maximum 30 people and there are 10. I would reason that when the churches are restricted, that there is a run at the places. Corona seems to be like water stopping the fire of the Holy Spirit in the churches. It cannot be that the corona crisis will stop the fire of the church. The fire of God is so much powerful. But we are in the corona crisis. But it is a warning for all generations. Also for the first generation of believers. For in the Church of the Thessalonians, Paul said, don't stop the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't stop the fire, the Holy Spirit. So it was also important in that time. There are many, many ways in stopping the Holy Spirit in your life. I gave you some homework. Please take time to be still and think, are there things in my life, Lord? Are there things in my life that stop the Holy Spirit fire in my life? Then you can discover what matters in your life. One time back to Leviticus 6. The commission was clear. The fire should keep burning. The fire at the altar has to keep burning. It may not stop. Every morning the priest has to put wood at the fire and bring a new burnt offering and burn it. You have to put new wood, new fuel, regularly. In Proverbs is written, if there is no wood, the fire will stop. We have to need that as a priest, every morning we put wood at the fire. What was the first duty for a priest? To put the wood. That's the first what we have to do also. When we awake in the morning, put wood at the fire. Mostly, first you watch NOS, the news. You watch the news in the morning. And every time I want to commit myself that I stop with that I don't want to start the morning with the news, but to start the morning with the Word of God. To give myself as a pleasant, a holy sacrifice. Know that when the fire has to keep burning, every morning you have to put wood in the fire. May I conclude with these words? Romans 12 verse 11. Don't allow that you lose enthusiasm, but let stimulate yourself by the Spirit and serve the Lord. Lord in heaven, we thank you that you yourself lighted the fire in our lives and in our church. That is a holy, divine work. You put fire. It is our commission, our challenge, to keep the fire burning. Lord, we have seen from your word what it means. We will give ourselves to you, and where the fire has disappeared, will you light it again, set it in fire again. And when it's necessary for you to pray, call to God. Lord, light the fire again. When the fire seems to stop in your life, let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow in your life so that the fire will become greater again. And put wood upon it. Put fuel upon it. Lord, keep us away from being a church where the fire is stopped almost. It's smelling badly. We want to be a church where the fire is burning, where it is smelling with a nice smell, and while you are visible, and where we stimulate each other, encourage each other in the following of Jesus. Be blessed. Let the flame burn. Amen.